Blog Talk Radio.
It cost me life, but there's one thing that I've got. It's my man. It's my man. Cold or wet, tired you bet. All of this I'll soon forget with my man. He's not much on looks, he's no hero out of books, but I love him. Yes, I love him. Two or three girls has he that he likes as well as me, but I love him. I don't know why I should. He isn't true. He beats me too. What can I do? Oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know. All my life is just despair. But I don't care. When he takes me in his arms, the world is bright. All right. What's the difference if I say I'll go away when I know I'll come back on my knees someday? For whatever my man is, I'm his. Forevermore.
Welcome to the Black Womaniverse. This is your host, Goddess Tara, also affectionately known as Seek Wisdom. I want to say peace and blessings to all of the sisters and the family that are listening right now. Today is Sunday, February 21st. First, I want to say thank you to all of the listeners. I've been getting a lot of emails and phone calls about the information that we are sharing here on Black Womaniverse, how it's, you know, helping sisters and enlightening, you know, the queen. So thank you very much for listening and growing with us here on Black Womaniverse. Today, we will be speaking about a topic that we do not get into that that often in our community, but it needs to be discussed. It definitely needs to be discussed. So let me open up a few lines here that we have on the switchboard. Peace and blessings, Sister Earth. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I am well. I'm blessed to be on this show for this particular topic that needs to be discussed.
All right. I'm going to open up another line of one of my sisters who has been hosting Goddess Awakening live from Denver, Colorado. How are you, Lady Arsette Crenshaw? Lady Arsette, are you on the line? Okay. Are you muted? If you're muted, you know, unmute yourself so we can hear you. Area code 720. Okay. Well, Lady Arset, press 1 when you are ready to speak. I just unmuted your line, but I'm not sure if you can hear me or not. So, anyway, today's topic, the show is entitled Sleeping with the Enemy. But the topic that we are going to discuss today, we are going to talk about sexual abuse in our home, in our communities, and we will cover, like I said, molestation, rape, speaking about children, and, you know, adults, you know, we're going to speak about the whole everything, because this is something that we do not talk about in our communities, and it needs to be spoken about. And we're also going to touch on things that we can do to identify when this is going on in our communities, as well as what we do once we, when we need to heal from these things. So, Sister Earth, did you have anything you want to say? I'm going to do a special libations today before we get into anything.
I just wanted to add that we are going to come up with solutions and what to do if it happens to you, or what to do when it happens to your children. There's a lot of issues surrounding this, and a lot of problems that stem from abuse and molestation that we don't really talk about. So it's not just the act, it's the healing from it and the other issues that arise from abuse.
All right, I'm going to try to open the sister's line again. Lady, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Peace and blessings, sister. How are you?
Peace and blessings. I want to say thank you for bringing me on. Peace to the sister, and let's talk about this, and let's get some solutions.
All right. Well, we're going to do libations right quick to pay honor and reverence to our ancestors, and also to call on our queens that have been through this, that are still with us, and those that have not, because, you know, it takes a lot of courage and things to speak about this. So I'm just going to pour out some libations and Ashe.
Ashe.
All right. Okay. All right. Sister Earth and myself were speaking earlier today. And one of the things I do, I'm a cosmetologist. So, you know, I do hair, and, you know, when you're doing someone's hair, they tend to talk to you about some of everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have my story about things I've been with that I'm going to open up and share today, because it needs to be spoken about. And if I don't speak about it and I have this platform to speak about it, I don't have the right to, you know, ask other women to step up and open up and start the healing process when it comes to this. So I need to, you know, speak about what I have been through personally. But the thing that started off the conversation this morning between Sister Earth and myself, we were speaking about, I was telling her about a sister she's been my client since she was 14, and she's now 17. And about a few months ago, she opened up and told me, you know, while I was doing her hair one day, that her mother's boyfriend, I can't even really say molested, raped her when she was 8 years old. And that her mom still is with this man. And when she told her mom said she was lying. Her mom didn't believe her. And her mom was still with this man. And she's no longer living in the household, because she told her biological grandmother, but her god grandmother, you know. And so that woman took the little girl out of the home. So that child has been with that woman ever since she was about 9 or 10 years old. And so when she goes to her mom's house on the weekends, she doesn't like going over there, one, but when she goes over there, she locks her bedroom door. And her mom continually fusses at her, like, why are you locking the door? Why are you locking the door? And then this man, the guy used to come drop her off to get her hair done, and she would always make comments like, you know, I don't like being around him, but I never, you know, pushed her, because I figured if it was something she wanted to tell me, when she got comfortable enough with me, she would tell me. And sure enough, she did. And she told me that, you know, one day he had picked her up from somewhere and was taking her back home, and she noticed that he wasn't going the same route that he normally went to take her home. And so she was like, where are we going? Where are we going? And he was like, well, I just wanted to talk to you. You know, I want to marry your mom. And, you know, what do I have to do to be in good graces with you to marry your mom? And she said, well, you know, I don't want to talk to you about anything. You need to just take me back home. And first of all, if you really want to know what you can do for me, you can tell your mom, my mom, you raped me so she can know the truth instead of thinking I'm lying.
Hmm.
And the man, you know, didn't even look at her in the eye from that point on. Because at that point, she stood up to him and said, I know you raped me. I remember. I didn't forget. And you need to tell the truth. So speaking about that this morning kind of prompted us to do this show and speak about the different situations that that we have been through. Since I'm the host, I'll go ahead and speak about my situations first, and then, you know, the two of you can speak about the situations you've been through. And I do want to let everyone know that these are, you know, situations that we've been through, and, you know, we need the whole community needs to open up and speak about this. And do not take anything that we are sharing lightly. You know, these situations are, you know, very very hurtful and very painful for us to talk about.
The other thing I wanted to add before you got started was I also definitely we need to discuss the act of it. But another thing that seemingly goes on in our community is when a child comes to their mother and tells them about the abuse, the reaction is not good. Usually young women and little girls are made to feel like it's either their fault or they're lying. Now, this has to stop. You know, that's something we have to examine within ourselves and our community, that if your child comes to you and tells you that your boyfriend or someone else has molested them, your reaction should be, well, it should be swift on the man, don't get me wrong, but it should be nourishing towards your child. But just like in the story you told us about the young woman where you do her hair, the reaction from her mother is you're lying. How could you possibly say that my man did that to you? You know what I mean? Taking this man's word over your child, especially for something as serious as being raped as an 8-year-old child.
Definitely. I have had two situations where this particular – I've had two situations in my life. One was when – I don't exactly remember how old I was, so I'm going to give you an age range, but I believe I was between the ages of 4 and 5. It was this older man that was, I would think, now looking back at his appearance, he had to be in his late 60s, you know, I would think in his mid to late 60s. And he was the candy man. You know, you went and you bought candy from him, and I guess that's how he got children lured to him, obviously. Every time I normally would go to where he lived to get candy from him with a whole bunch of children. It would be a lot of us, some older, a few younger, but, you know, it would be a lot of us when we went because we would go in big groups. Eventually, I got, you know, comfortable with him. And I, you know, if I was by myself, I would just go, you know, right around the corner or what have you. I believe I was around 5 or 6. I'm thinking 5 because I was kind of young. So this is before I went to kindergarten, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been around that age. It might have been a little later. I'm not sure. But I was very young. And so I went and I would go, you know, and I started going by myself. And he would put his hands in my underwear and, like, play with me. And I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know anything about that then. You know, so that was one instance. Another instance when I was about, and I never told anybody about that. I never told my mother. I never told my sister. I don't know why. Probably because it was something that people never talked about. You know, my mother never sat me down and told me, you know, this is your private area. Nobody is supposed to touch that. I never had that talk. Nobody ever told me that, you know, when I was young. So I didn't know that, you know, right offhand. I knew what he was doing was obviously wrong because when I was with other people, he never did it. But every time I went by myself, you know, he did it, you know, and he would just give me candy like, you know, thank you. I don't know. I hate to, you know, make it seem like that, but that's what it seemed like now that I look back on it. And later on, when I was about 17, you know, going through my stage of, you know, being very, very sexually active, this guy that I had, you know, relations with before, I guess he felt like because we had sex before, you know, it was okay if he, whatever he wanted, he was supposed to get. And we were, I was at home by myself. He came over, and, I mean, I wasn't expecting him to come over. He just happened to knock on the door. I let him in. I was watching TV. It was a little, probably it was dark outside, I know that. And, again, I was in the house by myself. So we were talking, and all of a sudden, he turned the TV off and turned the lights off and started kind of sort of, you know, caressing on me and following with me. I was like, you know, I'm not in the mood for all that. I'm not, you know, I'm trying to chill. And I realized his body language, you know, all the lights off, I can't see him, but he started to get very forceful with me. And lo and behold, I'm thinking he's joking, but he's still getting stronger and stronger. Every time I push him off of me, he's getting stronger. So needless to say, that situation turned into him forcing himself upon me, and he raped me. Again, that's a situation I never spoke about. This is my first time, you know, coming out and discussing, other than speaking with Sister Earth about it earlier. So this is happening, and we're not, you know, talking about it. We're ashamed of it. And I think part of the reason why I didn't say anything about what happened to me when I was 17 was because when I started to look at the situation, I said, you know, I'm being very sexually active right now. Maybe it's my fault because I shouldn't have had sex with him. I started to blame myself because of what he did to me. And that was a part of why I never spoke about it, because I felt like I was at fault for it. And it is not our fault when these situations happen to us, and we should be speaking out about it, and there should be support in the community, you know, that comes to our assistance when things like this happen. And there should be some recourse to the people that are doing these things. So that is my story as to the things that have happened to me in my past. So I'm going to, you know, open the floor up for, you know, either Sister Earth or Lady to speak about, you know, their situations and things they've been through and, you know, how they felt during those situations.
Okay, this is Lady. I'll go ahead and start. my situation was I knew this brother. We were friends for years. I moved away and came back for everyone's graduation. So we would come in to party, basically. I was not, I've always kind of been known as stuck up and I don't give my pussy to nobody and all of that. So, and this brother was actually one of my friends who supported me in that. So when, you know, the guys would criticize me, he would be like, yo, sit back, you know, in many instances, I looked at him as a brother. Come back, we partying, had a house party, doing it up, whatever, and they were in the room playing Madden. And I was, you know, making my rounds because I had moved away, so making my rounds to say peace to everybody and congratulations for graduating. And his cousin went, he walked out the door and closed the door behind him, which was kind of weird. So I immediately, my senses went off. He was laying on the bed, playing the game, put the control down, and he pulled out a gun. And I said, okay, what is this? You know what I'm saying? And this wasn't like, and you know, I was the chick who was cool with all the guys, you know what I'm saying? So I knew
right.
Who was selling weed, who was carrying, I knew all of that. So I wasn't really tripping, but the look in his eye was something different. And he said, you know, I've been wanting to fuck you for all these years, da-da-da-da-da, telling me how beautiful I am. And I was just like, whoa, you know I don't get down like that. So I go to walk out, and he pointed the gun. So of course, I'm scared out of my mind, and told me to come here. And when he reached for the gun, it was in a drawer. When he reached for it, I just kind of, I guess, like blacked out. You know what I'm saying? Like I remember the details, but I know I wasn't there. He began to, you know, trace my perimeter with the gun. He inserted the gun in me. Made me put the gun in my mouth. Okay, so he was establishing fear, and fear for my life. He did in this process tell me, you know, I know who your mama is, I know who your sister is, I will kill you, I will kill them. So of course I'm going nuts, and I'm just trying to you know, at this point I was like, I'd rather die. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather die. You could kill me, because that's how scared I was. And he proceeded to very violently rape me. And in the process, I'm thinking that he's definitely going to kill me after this. You know what I'm saying? Because I know everybody. He knows everybody. He didn't. After he was done, he pushed me off the bed, told me to go in the bathroom and wash up, stop crying. And as I was walking out, reminded me that he would kill me, and he would kill my mother and my sister. So I go back to the party, and this was probably the first time I ever got drunk, pissy drunk. You know what I'm saying? I just drank all of it away, and I left. I didn't tell anybody. I came back to Denver. I didn't tell anybody. I was on my way to go get STD testing, because he did not use a condom. He did not, I didn't know if I could have been pregnant, anything. So I was going to the clinic. And at that time, pages was still in. You know what I'm saying? So pages was still in. I got a page from a girl with 911, and it said, call me. So I called her up, and she's like, yo, guess what happened? So-and-so raped 6 different girls, and the last 2 of them have herpes. Now, this is literally while I'm on my way I was there, and I called her up. So I was like, okay, wow, I'm hanging up the phone. Come to find out, thank God, I was completely clean. And I call her back. She gives me the details of what happened with the other sisters. And timeline-wise, I was the first woman that he did this to. And he went to prison. All of them spoke up. All of them were there together, got him locked up. I still did not say anything. Even my friend who called me and told me about it, she still does not know. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just that traumatic for me. And finally, I decided to speak up about it just for the sake of my own healing. And it was very, the guilt that I went through of not saying something because, you know, I was like, being the first one, I felt responsible for the other 6. You see what I'm saying? So I felt like if I would have said something, I could have stopped it. Even if it would have caught, you know, I had to die for it. These other sisters would not have gone through what they went through, particularly the sister before the last one, she had herpes and then gave it to him, and he infected the other chick with it. So it was very much like, oh, my goodness, like, I can't believe this has happened. And being the first one, I felt so much guilt, and never spoke about it. And now I've gotten to the point where I'm like, you know, what if I would have said something? He's in prison for the rest of his life. But what if I would have said something? You know, what if I could have, would I would have added years, would I have done anything? And so the guilt that comes from not speaking about it, that's really what I want to speak about, because even if you don't, say something, you still walk around with this responsibility that you're bearing, because you are always going to wonder if they've done it to another woman. Did they do it to another woman? Were you the first? Were you the last? Were you the whatever? And this is why we have to get in a comfortable space with each other as sisters to know it's okay to speak like this. It's okay to say these things. I do know that of all my friends who have suffered, all the sisters I've spoken to, only a few have had anything as violent as mine, but it's still, this behavior is abnormal, period. So when it's abnormal in an abnormal situation, we really need to get comfortable and get over the guilt and the self-esteem. And, you know, and I do think that it thrusted me into my sisterhood calling because of that even more. I've known that I was supposed to do work with women forever, but I think this was like even more reason why I said, you know what, I can't let this happen again. We have to open up the platform. So that's my story. It was pretty violent, but.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us, because it's going to be healing for other people. And I just want to say we can't blame ourselves for not speaking out about this. Of course, we're going to think about that, but we can't really blame ourselves because we've kind of sort of been conditioned to not speak about these things. These are things that you can't speak about this. It doesn't happen. You know, keep it to yourself and just pray and, you know, Jesus will, you know, heal it for you. You know, so we can't blame ourselves for that. So I just want to put that out there. We cannot blame ourselves for that.
Okay. This is Sister Earth. I wanted to touch on two things that both the sisters said. Like earlier, CQ had said there should be – oh, wait, before I get started, let me apologize. I have a three-year-old here, and he's very outspoken. So if he weighs in, just bear with him. He likes to make his presence known, and he don't like anybody hurting his mama. So forget – I ask my apologies in advance. But the thing I wanted to touch on that you said, Zeke, was the fact that there should be – some sort of community organization or people that you can go to if this has happened to you. But it seems as if in the Black community, when you let it known that, hey, I've been molested or I'm raped, there's almost a stigma with it. Like something is wrong with us or we did something to provoke this behavior. I think that is, the actual molester and the rapist is definitely the problem. I am not blaming the victim. But there is a sickness with mothers especially and fathers and whoever that you go to and say, hey, look, this happened to me. And especially as a child, when you're not really old enough to understand what's going on, that when your parents are like, oh, you're lying or you're fast or you did something to bring this about. Right. That is a part of exactly. What did you do to deserve this? Even as a young woman, like if you say no is no. It doesn't matter. A lot of people say, well, how was she dressed or how did she do this? It's like, well, she said no. That means no. It doesn't mean maybe just because I have a skirt on. You know, it's really a kind of a sickness that we need to examine. What Sister Arsetta said about the feeling of that guilt, I take it back to what I just said. There's like a stigma attached to it. Like it's almost like they blame the women for what goes on with them, but especially when it comes to rape. But when we get into molestation, it's not just women. It's young men getting molested and things like that as well. Wow. But anyway, so my story is, and, you know, the funny thing is while I'm talking about it, I think I've done so much to block it out. So this is a part of my emotional healing as well. I was molested by two different people. I was molested as a, I don't even see, this is how bad I blocked it out. I was like 5 or 6. I think I was in pre-K at this point. And so my babysitter's son used to molest me. Like at first he would have me sit on his lap when his mother wasn't around. He would like grind against me. And, you know, just weird stuff. This happened, like, it happened more than a few times. And then finally it escalated where he finally penetrated me, you know, and I was, like, 5 or 6. And so with that situation, I told my babysitter and I told my father. Now, I don't really remember what my babysitter's reaction was. I don't think she said too much to me from what I remember. Now, my father's reaction was violent, of course. You know, I will say in that situation, he did come to my aid. Now, another person I was molested by was someone in my family. And so being that I had went through that before, I told my family. Now, I told my mother and I told my father. And so, mind you, the reaction that I remember that I got from them was not normal. Like it wasn't like what happened when my babysitter's son had molested me. It was different. Like they couldn't believe it. I remember I told my mom in the car and she was, I don't know, she didn't really say anything, but she was like, you need to tell your father. And so then I remember walking up to my dad, he was at his table reading the paper, and I told him what happened. And he turned a different color, but he didn't say anything. Like, neither my mom nor my father, like, said, are you okay? I mean, is this, whatever, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. None of them said that. It was almost like a silence. They told me to go in my room, and I remember them arguing about it. But the crazy thing was, this particular relative came. I told them right before this particular relative was supposed to come out to visit us. And so anyway, that relative ended up being at my house anyway. And so I just remember always being, I never spoke about it after that, especially when I saw that they still allowed the relative to be at my house. I was like, okay, you know, they don't believe me, or this is normal, or I don't know. But it was very confusing. I never talked about it again until I was older. And I kind of confronted my parents about it, like, you know, what was going on with y'all that y'all would allow them? And my mother, the funny thing about my mother, it's almost like she blocked it out. She was like, I don't remember. I don't even remember you telling me that. I just don't remember. She blocked it out too. Now, my dad was like, he didn't really want to talk about it or whatever. But obviously in his reaction, he remembered what I told him. But I don't know. Anyway, my whole point is this. I dealt with a lot of mixed emotions and confusion, and it really led to how I am today. Like, now I don't like people in my business. I suffer in silence. Like, if something's going on with me, it takes a lot for me to tell people, hey, I need help, or this is going on with me. And me personally, I think it stems from what happened to me as a child. It's like, you expect your parents or people to protect you. You don't expect people to be freaking animals either, but you expect your family especially to protect you. And at least in the second occasion, it seemed like the difference was because this was a family member. I don't know, like, I didn't count. I don't know. That's how I felt as a child. And even though I've kind of sort of dealt with some of the issues that stem from that, I still have a lot of issues, like trust issues with even people in my family, not just men, but people in my family. I have a real hard time trusting them because I feel like at that point, especially something as serious as being molested as a young girl, that they should have done something. And then, I don't know. I don't know how other females who have gone through this feel, but I just remember looking back on my life, like, I was a young girl who knew about sex without knowing about sex.
Right.
Like, what a confusing thing that was for me. Like, you know, I had sexual urges. It's so weird to say this out loud, but I had strong sexual urges as a little kid. But the sexual urges were tied to trauma. You know what I mean? These aren't pleasurable urges like, hey, you know, I love my husband, this is pleasurable. No, my sexual urges were tied to trauma. And could you imagine how crazy, you know, going through that is? I mean, anyway, so going along with what both the sisters said, there's definitely some healing that we need to do, not only from the people who've been molested, but we really need to examine parents, especially who don't stick up for their children. I mean, hearing countless stories, even about the sister that CK spoke on earlier, about her mom told her she was lying or didn't believe her and is still with that man to this day, that really messes with you. That messes with your head. That messes with your self-esteem. That affects you for the rest of your life. And then on top of it, you feel like you can't share that with anyone else because it's like, well, if my parents think I'm lying, who the hell else is going to believe me? So we're forced to deal with these traumas, to deal with these rapes, to deal with these abuses silently. And sometimes when we even tell people about the abuses, we still get no help. So we're still basically suffering in silence, and it has to stop.
You know, I think one thing we need to understand about these perpetrators is that on a psychological level, it is very hard to treat
child molesters, pedophiles are the hardest people to rehabilitate.
Because the biggest thing is that this is what they are attracted to. So if we can begin to understand how sick of a mind, see, we just, it scares us. So we block it out like your mother has done, like, you know. And we need to make sure that we understand that this is not a behavior that we can accept or just brush under the rug, because this behavior is very, some psychiatrists believe that you cannot cure it, you know, because this is what they are attracted to, so they say, you know, this is what they are drawn to. So how do you stop that urge of wanting a five-year-old? How do you even begin? That's like asking my man to not like booty. You know what I'm saying? And he likes ass. You know what I'm saying? So you need to really, really understand how sick of the mind, and then you will begin to say, this is unacceptable behavior. This is a sickness, and we will not allow it. And for the mothers, particularly the mothers who are dealing with this with their sons and their daughters, you know, because little boys are going through this too. As long as we are not there to nurture, it affects us as women. It affects us as men. Men won't trust women. Women won't trust women because I went to my mama. She told me I was a liar. How will I? I mean, this is such a deep rooted self-esteem effect. If we don't, mothers, and in my opinion, that should be child abuse. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, if you don't at least investigate. Now, I will say this because there are sisters who do this for attention, who will make up a lie, who will do whatever. But you should not go into any type of a judgment until you fully investigate, because your mother's instinct is going to lead you to the truth. And as long as if you had to block it, that means that you're blocking the truth. If you had to forget it, that means you're forgetting the truth, not the child, the mother. If God has to block this out, it means that your intuition told you otherwise and you didn't want to accept it. So you have to proper investigation. And then the women, I deal with girls. I have actually dealt with one particular girl who just outright lied, outright did it for attention, outright. But I investigated so deeply that I found out the reason why she was reaching for this attention with this particular situation was because it had happened before. So she may be lying about one situation, but you have to keep investigating because it may have happened before from her father, and she didn't want to say it. So she's trying to project it to somebody else. So you really need to go as deep as you can possibly go, investigate, because that's what these, you know, in the schools when the little girls are coming, you know, the first thing that the counselors are saying is, I need to make sure she's not lying. No, you need to make sure it's not deep-rooted further, and she's just afraid to say it was my daddy who did this. You know what I'm saying? But she's going to project it to somebody else because she's trying to create a threat to her father so her father will stop. You see what I'm saying? So you have to make sure that you continue to investigate. Even if you feel she's lying, you need to keep investigating because it will continue to go deeper and you'll find out, oh, shit, this has been happening since she was 5 by her own father. And she's lying on this little boy because she just needs the attention. She needs somebody to pay attention. Nobody was paying attention. So we can't be saying that to our babies. We got to be there.
Exactly, and especially, I'm sorry, statistic, real quick. And besides looking at the sick mind of a child molester, we as women also have to realize that rape is a form of control. It's not just about.
We're gonna talk about that in a minute. Go ahead and finish your comment, but we're gonna definitely come back to that control issue and that fear.
Well, it's really about control, like control over the people, like serial rapists and stuff. When they are talked to by psychologists and psychoanalysts, the whole thing is control. These people feel powerless in their own life, and so they feel like they control a woman somehow, some way. I was reading an article not too long ago about how women in Kenya are actually coming together who have been raped as a weapon of war, and they treat it as a war crime. And so, anyway, it's a lot of sicknesses that we will touch on this conversation, but go ahead, Sister Sink, I'm sorry.
All right. We have a caller on the switchboard, area code 347. Could you let us know who you are? And, I believe you have some information you want to share with us along with the topic today.
What's good, sisters? This is Brother F. Dot calling from Brooklyn.
Peace and blessings, brother.
How are you sisters doing this afternoon?
Good. How are you?
Good. We healing.
Well, that's what it's about, and it starts with revealing. You know, you can't heal unless you reveal. So you got to reveal whatever your truth is in order to bear the fruit from that healing. So, you know, and the thing that you've got to think about is healing is a process, because once you get healed, a lot of people get healed and then they hide out. but you want to move from healing to deliverance. Deliverance is the next phase. Deliverance is the phase where you're being evangelical about the fact that you were put in a position that you needed to be healed.
Right.
You know, for me as a man, I was molested when I was 5 years old by a 16-year-old babysitter who used to watch me in the afternoons after school until my mom came home. And what I look back on, and, you know, and I suppressed it for a number of years. I didn't even really think of it as molestation because as a young black child, all of my male peers, they were so obsessed with getting some, as we called it, that for me to have engaged in sex was considered a good thing. However, that was molestation.
You were molested by the person that was babysitting you was a female, right?
Yes, she was 16
right.
years old.
Okay.
So and looking back, I know that she was also being molested by an older uncle and a brother, you know, in her family. She was from a Caribbean background and you know, not the stereotype, but in some cultural backgrounds, you're not going to say certain things more than you would in other backgrounds. So in her particular background, it wouldn't have been something she would have talked about. But that doesn't excuse the fact that, you know, I broke a lamp one day in my house and she said that she would tell if I didn't do what she told me to do, which was come into the bathroom and take off all my clothes. I thought she was going to beat me. She made me get into the tub, and when I got in the tub, she started washing me, and washing me really hard, and washing my penis, and I'm a little boy. I can't even imagine what a older woman, a teenage woman, would be interested in a five-year-old boy for. But, you know, next thing I know, she starts taking off her clothes that makes me, you know, fondle her breasts. She performs oral sex on me. She takes me in a room and puts me on top of her and has sex with me. And I can't even recall what it felt like or anything. All I know is it felt wet and not good. And, you know, and afterwards she was like, if you tell anybody, I'm going to tell that you broke the lamp and this is our secret. And so, you know, and I never told anyone. But 3 weeks later, I had a female cousin who lived upstairs from me, and she was, we were the same age. She's two months younger, older than me. And she had us fondling each other on the bed, but we didn't have any sex. But by the time I got 9 years old, that female cousin was so promiscuous, like all of the little boys were hitting it. So I don't know whatever she did to her, how that impacted my cousin, but how it impacted me is that I grew up to be a womanizer, and I mean really bad. I'm 41 years old now. I was sexually active when I started when I was five. I've now been sexually inactive, refraining for the last 5 years as of October 18, 2009. Because when I realized that all that sex that I was having was loveless sex and that it was aggressive. It was sexualized aggression and depression. You listen to the way that a lot of men and women talk about sex. I hit it. I fucked the shit out of you. I knocked the stuffing out of your muffin. That's rape.
I banged it
That's
out.
Rape.
I beat it up.
That's violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and unfortunately, a lot of our women today are taking on alpha male characteristics because they're reading books that tell them to think like a man, but just merely act like a lady, not be a woman, act like a lady and think like a man. You're reading books that are pulling you out of your divine nature, which is what you should be celebrating.
Right.
So, you know, women are functioning in this roosterism today too. And, you know, it's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you for calling in to share, you know, your story and everything with what you've been through. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely, sister. And you sisters continue to heal.
All right. Peace and blessings.
Peace.
All right. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and take a brief break before we get into speaking about some solutions, things that we could maybe set up in our communities, you know, just overall solutions to the situations we're going through. So we'll be right back.
I need a healing for my soul. So give me a healing for my soul. I need a healing for my soul. So give me a healing for my soul. I need healing.
Hello.
Kelly.
Sarcastic towards me, sweetheart. Listen, I didn't come here to argue. I didn't come here to fuss or fight. I came here to make things right. I want you to know that I understand what I did, and I want to make things better between me and
you. How you figure you can do that?
Well, I can start by saying that I love you. I mean,
I've heard that before.
I don't know what to say. It's just, I know I did so many things wrong, but
I don't believe you.
I love you. I really do. Can you take me back, please? Take me back. I love you. I want you back. I miss what we had. Me and you, I can't eat. I can't.
All right. Welcome back to the Black Womaniverse. All right. So now we're going to talk about healing, the different things we can do to identify when something may be going on in your home, with a friend of yours, you know, just ways to identify what may be going on with another sister or a child or a brother or what have you, and different things we can do to promote healing within our communities. I'm going to say the first thing is to do what we're doing today, which is talk about it, because we have to remove this topic from being a big elephant in the room. We all know what's been going on, you know, throughout the generations, you know, within our people and our culture. So we need to start talking about it and getting it out in the open and explain to our children that no one should touch you there. You know, if someone is touching you there or making you feel funny or looking at you a certain way that you're not comfortable with, it's okay to come talk to me about it. And, you know, let them know that, you know, we're not going to think that they're lying about it, is the first thing. Because a lot of people don't step up because people think, you know, they think, you know, nobody's going to believe me. And we touched on the control issue. I want to speak about that control thing. Later on, when I got a little older, you know, in between the, I guess, 13 or 14 years old, my mom had her boyfriend. He was living with us. And he used to do different things that I felt were too familiar to me, you know, different things that they, I just wasn't comfortable with. You know, he wanted to be controlling. He used to tell her not to allow me to close my bedroom door and things of that nature. And I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with this dude. He is not my father. I'm not comfortable with him. I'm not comfortable with his spirit. I'm just not. So I always close and lock my bedroom door. You know, we just didn't vibe. Me and that boyfriend of hers just didn't vibe. You know, and we had had physical altercations, like fights and things, because he just wanted to be controlling of me. And I'm just not a person that likes to be controlled. And now that I'm older, looking at that situation, had I been able to be controlled, that spirit that was on him, he would have been a person that could have possibly, you know, molested me or raped me had I not had the type of, how do I say it, had I not known how to identify that spirit within him, that I'm not going to allow him around me and I'm going to definitely close and lock my bedroom door. He had to be out of his mind to think that I'm a 15 and 16-year-old girl and I'm not going to close my bedroom door, you know, while I'm sleeping and this man is in here and I don't know him and I don't feel comfortable around him. So when your children are doing things like that, something has happened to them or something that they're picking up about someone who is around them as to why they feel like they have to, you know, lock every door, you know, if they're picking up, children are very, very aware of things that are around them. They are very spiritual until most adults try to close them down. So if they're picking up something about somebody, it's not because they just don't like them. It's something about that person that you may need to pay attention to. So I just want to put that out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, too, we need to, when we're, Sister Earth touched on it, is when we are victims, the first thing that we need to do is forgive ourselves for feeling guilty. We have to forgive ourselves for whatever you think you could have done, even though it is not your fault. Just the act of, I've done a YouTube show about this, the power of an apology. When you apologize to yourself and you're sincere, that is when you will begin to understand that it wasn't your fault in the first damn place. But you have to somehow get through this natural guilt and fear that you have. And you need to forgive yourself for even thinking that you had to feel guilty, even thinking that you had to live in fear. That is the first step, is to definitely forgive yourself and be committed and put out to the universe and to the Creator and your ancestors that you want to heal from this, that you want to recognize how it has affected you. And that is that calls for 100% honesty. That calls for you to say, you know what, my marriage didn't work out because it was deeply rooted in this problem, or, you know, I treated this man a certain way, or like the brother said, I was a womanizer because of this. It calls for you to be able to see how deeply it's affected you and then apologize to yourself, accept your own forgiveness and say, you know, I was tormented. It was tragic what has happened to me, and my reaction was defense mechanisms. And once you begin to do that, you know, it brings this, I mean, it just is profusely pouring out of your soul how much healing will happen in that forgiveness of self and recognizing where it was deep rooted. And then you will begin to say, this was not my fault. It was not my fault, but I take responsibility for womanizing. I take responsibility for promiscuity. I take responsibility for this, but I know the root of it was not my fault. And then you will begin to, because what happens is the domino effect of what happens calls for us to be even more guilty, because we realize we became a womanizer, and then we really want to block out anything. But once we can say, you know what, because of this, I have been affected as such, and I need to forgive myself and call for true healing from the Creator and the universe, it will begin to happen. And then you want to start forgiving your womb and start loving your womb, start doing your womb practices, your meditation on healing her and getting her back healthy and getting her out of fear, because she's following your energy level, you know. So as soon as you begin to do that, I can't explain how profound that is when you start to take that first step of recognizing it was not your fault. You have to forgive yourself for any guilt that you felt, any fear, because that was nothing but a child having a defense mechanism. And in that childlike mentality, you developed into an adult who had a childlike mentality when it comes to sex. So you really need to just get honest with yourself and recognize where your actions came from. Some people go all out. Some people retreat. I was a retreater. You know, I just did not fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just was like not doing nothing. And it suppressed a lot of me because I'm a natural sexual being. So it suppressed that, and it caused for a domino effect of things. The moment you begin to say, I'm forgiving myself, you will find healing.
Okay. Sister Earth, did you have anything to add right now?
Also, it's just kind of piggybacking off of what Sister just said, but as a community, there's things that you have to do to heal yourself. But one of the community issues is the shame or stigma of saying what happened to you. And then, you know, I keep saying it, but if your child comes to you and says this has happened, just like the sister said, you need to investigate and you need to figure out a solution and a plan, but you also need to make that child, like, you got to help heal that child and say, you know, this is not your fault, baby, you know, I'm glad you told me and things like that. Parents don't realize that, but that's the easiest way for you to stop communicating with your parents. Like, you tell them something serious and they don't react in the way that you think they should react. That's the first thing that's going to put that division between you and your parents. You're not going to tell them nothing. And we have such a stigma with it. Like, young women who are raped, when they do go to, we'll say they go to the police or something like that, they are subjected to rape kits and people basically raping them all over again.
Right.
So as a community, we need to, as sisters first, because it always starts with us and our babies, we need to figure out what we can do to help sisters and children. You know, if this is happening to you, you know, we're going to help you heal. We're gonna rebuild your self-esteem. We're going to make sure that the perpetrator is known and is punished somehow. You know, it's a cycle. The cycle stops with us, though. It has to stop with us. We can't continue to keep forcing this down, like passing it on to generation. Me and Sister C were just talking about that book, Jambalaya. And one of the things that the lady had talked about in the book was the fact that our ancestors, our elders and stuff like that, they went through similar problems. But the difference is they were told not to talk about it. Their mothers told them not to talk about it. It happened to you, you aren't supposed to say nothing, no matter how bad the abuse was and things like that. This is a generational thing that we have to stop right now. This is part of the reason why we as a whole are not to where we need to be, because we just refuse to look at certain issues in our community. And, you know, I'm not blaming the sisters, but it starts with us because we raise the children.
Right, and see that thing right there is what I wanted to touch on. Generational thing. It stops with us. We raise the children, you know. And just for the purpose of this conversation, I wanted to know who, you know, what our age ranges were on the phone. I mean, I know what our age ranges were, but just off for the listeners so they can understand. This has gone on in previous generations, and you're sitting on the phone with the same generation, and it's three of us, and it's way more that have had the same issue. Now, I will be 29 in April. Sister Earth, how old are you?
I'm old as dirt. No, I am 29.
All
right. But before I go ahead. I was just going to say, I don't know. Only thing I was going to add to the age, the generation thing, is I don't know one sister, whether it's an elder, whether my age or younger, who hasn't been molested. And the sad thing about it, too, is I mean, a lot of brothers won't admit it, but a lot of brothers I know were molested as well. This is happening.
And, you know, and another thing is we have to be so open. Sister Earth touches. I mean, she hit it on the nail. We have to build these babies back up when they come to us. We have to be available and let them know. See, the sisters, Sister Seekers, Sister Earth, their story is far different from mine because I was not a child. This wasn't someone in my family. It wasn't that intimate. I was 17 years old when it happened, so it was I was very much, I was already moved out the house in college. So we have to really understand that when it comes to children, you know, if this is making me kind of, I mean, sisters, for y'all sharing, it's making me make sure I'm aware, and you can't be afraid to, you know, my daughter is 5 years old, and she already knows, don't nobody touch my middle area. Don't nobody touch my private. You need to start having these conversations because, like you said, this is the first way that they will stop communicating with you, and we have to open that up because it's such a generational thing, and it's so unspoken.
Lady, how old are you?
I'm going to be 28 in August, so I'm 27.
Yeah, this is crazy because all of us are the same age.
Mm-hmm.
We're literally almost the same age,
mm-hmm.
And I wasn't certain about how old you were, lady, but both of us are 28, and Sister Earth just turned 29.
Mm-hmm.
And real quick, before I forget, I wanted to piggyback again off of what you just said. When we get into, like, the other things that happen in our life that stem from the abuse, like, I have a three-year-old son, and everybody thinks I'm crazy. I mean, I allow him to be a child and have fun, but I am really funny about who he can be around. To be honest with you, I don't even like him to go over my in-laws' house if I'm not there. And a part of that is what happened to me. Another part is me protecting my child. I almost feel like I have to do that because of what I've been through and what I know that other people have been through, male or female, being molested. And I, you know, a part of me feels bad because it's like, you know, sometimes I block him from doing certain things, but I just try to protect him from that. You know, I just don't want him to have to experience what I experienced as a child, a little bit older than him, just 2 years older than him, you know. So, I don't know. It's definitely, you definitely have issues if it's relating to your mate or whatever, trust issues. I mean, when you go through abuse or rape, it affects the rest of your life. And that's why the healing is necessary, self-healing. But our community also has to be there to make you not feel like you were a whore or you were fast or something is wrong with you or you can't talk about it. Because that also adds to the self-esteem issues and it hinders the healing process.
Right. Now, I do want to touch on one thing that we spoke about earlier but we really didn't get into, so we need to get into that now. Why do women deny what happened to their children? And
I think
whether it's a family member that did it or somebody else, but there's a real big denial if it's a boyfriend or a father.
Go ahead.
I know that, like I said, I deal with young girls on a regular, and in the particular situations I've seen is that the mothers, they are so broken, and often I suspect that they have gone through it, and they have learned to attach to a man or attach to these men some type of way,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to accept that it's happening, and then they get into, well, it happened to me, and I'm okay now. So, or you'll be fine eventually. And they allow that to, and then they leave their babies in the dark, you know. And it's a real sticky situation. And, you know, another thing is that we have to not be afraid to put the names out of these men. We have to stop.
Of course. There we go.
I had a situation here in Denver where a brother was touching on a little girl in the community. I found out about it, and you best believe I told everybody I could tell. Don't you have this man around your baby. Don't you do this, because it was we can't be afraid. That's not being in somebody's business, sisters. This is protecting our community. This is
exactly.
We can't be afraid to say so-and-so did this, and we have to be cautious and damn near call for the brothers to go whoop his ass. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, ain't no damn near. Ain't no damn near. It needs to be a call for somebody to go whip
right.
his or her ass if it's a woman doing that. I don't care
right.
what gender you are. If you are, you know, raping anyone, or if you, I don't see how, I'm just going to make, I don't know how a grown woman would be able to rape a grown man, but I'm just going to leave that there. But if, but if I don't even want nobody to comment on it because I shouldn't even said it, but I said it. If anybody is being molested or raped or what have you, the men in the community need to step up and go handle their business. Women need to not be afraid to stand up and beat his ass if he's doing something to you too.
You know what? You know what's so funny about that is my sister, you know, like I'm telling you, was a victim of molestation when she was young as well. Her mother's boyfriend molested her. Now, she never told anybody, but she remembers that. And the funny thing was we actually had a child. Well, he molested little boys, a child molester in our neighborhood. And so my sister's 10 years older than me. I remember being like 13, 14. And every time we would see him, we would just go off like, stop looking at him. Like, we would draw attention to him like, you nasty buzzard. We would yell at him and stuff like that. And, you know, other people didn't understand why we were doing it. And maybe we were extreme. But the thing was, he had molested a few boys in our neighborhood, and no one said anything. And so, I don't know, maybe our tactics weren't the best, but we felt the need that we would always call him out. If we ever saw him around kids, we would just draw so much attention to him and let everybody know that he has molested children, because no one else would do it. No one else would do it.
And you know what, sis? That's something that, and for you to be a child and doing that, this is your genetic memory telling us that in African cultures, you are put out in front of the community when you do ills like this. Okay, we've gotten so far removed from who we are as a people that we think telling everybody else wrongdoing is being in their business, and that's not true. If you acted a fool, the community came out, and you were shunned in front of the entire community. You see what I'm saying? So this is something that we have to get back to, because if you know you're going to be held accountable every time I walk by Sister Earth, she's going to tell me I'm a nasty buzzard. You know what I'm saying? It's going to make you think about what you're going to do. See, these brothers and sisters who do this, they understand that we have been taught to be afraid to speak about it, and no one is going to do too much action behind you. You know, you get locked up for 2 years. You need to get your ass beat every time I see you. You know what I'm saying?
That's
if
right.
They know that
that's
this
right.
is happening, this will check them. This will check. You know, we talk about it's not a curable thing, and it shows. I don't believe it is, but imagine if someone who was an aggressor knew that every time he walked by as a group of the goddesses, we gonna spit on him. You know what I'm saying? We gonna kick him in his dick.
Yeah.
We gonna do all of this shit. He's gonna check himself. You know what I'm saying? And we need to make sure. And this strong, I'm a strong woman. I went through that process. I'm too strong. I couldn't tell anybody because I'm this strong black woman who I got my shit together. I've done all this stuff early. I've been this. Nobody will believe that I'm this strength. And I didn't want to be weak. But if I knew, if I had the opportunity to spit on this nigga every time, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sorry, you gotta resort to that. We can't be afraid to say Joe Schmo did this and say it loud and tell the community.
And we need to.
Yeah, and brothers, we need you to protect us. We need you to come and say, who did what to you, sister? Is Sister Seek? Oh, okay, hold on, we'll be right back. And you come back with swollen knuckles. We need to know you protect us like that. So that means
And your children.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a comment in the chat room Kamisha just put, it seems like during the 1970s, the sexual revolution, there was an astounding amount of molestation. I mean,
I think it's deeper than, it was far,
yeah,
it was deeper
yeah,
than
yeah,
70s.
This has been going on for a long time. You know, you can take this back to the plantation, and you probably could go deeper than that.
Mm-hmm. Now, in that book, Jambalaya, the sister who was interviewed, who was talking about the olden ways and what happened to the children back then, she was born in, like, 1886, talking about molestation. So it goes back. It goes back. It's just an issue that we pretend like, you know, we're so busy like, oh, the white man is so nasty. This is his deviant trait. But, hey, there's some deviants in our midst. who need to be taken care of, get their ass whooped, whatever it is. But this is something we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
it happens in our community often.
Now, we have a caller on the line, 301. I'm going to get to you in just a second. I wanted to get to, because we kind of skipped over this a little bit, so I'm going to ask this again. Why do women deny what has happened to their child, especially when it's a boyfriend or a father? Because it's something I want to touch there.
Well, I think the sister said it good. You know, they're broken themselves, or they've experienced it themselves. But on the sick end of it, and I hate to be like this, there are some sisters where I believe, I don't know it to be sure, this is just my personal opinion, but some, our family structure and our whole thing has gotten so out of whack that certain women view their daughters as competition.
Say that.
Almost like, why would my man want to sleep with you? You, in turn, turn on your daughter like she's a woman in the street. Like, our family structure, the relationships between mothers and daughters, is really out of whack. And I have seen from my own eyes, maybe not anything that extreme, but where mothers and daughters are in competition. I mean, for example, me and my sister have different mothers. And her mother is in competition with her daughter. Like, anything her daughter does, she has to do it better. Like, she is in so much competition with her. It's ridiculous. I remember one time, you know, out of nowhere, and this was towards me, I'm not her daughter, we weren't talking about nothing. We weren't even discussing anything, nothing. And out of nowhere, she looks at me. I was like 17 or 18. She looked at me and she was like, oh, you think you're all that when I was your age? You didn't have nothing on me when I was 17. And this is a grown-ass woman. I'm not talking about another 17-year-old. Now, mind you, in their case, even though my sister was molested by the boyfriend, she never told her mother. But I'm saying that that is a sickness in our community as well. Like, these women are turning on their female children and view them as competition. So,
yeah, and see, that's a problem right there, because we shouldn't be looking at any other sister as though she's my competition. We are all beautiful. We shouldn't be competing.
Especially not your daughter. Especially not your daughter.
You shouldn't be competing anyway, but especially not your daughter.
And then y'all need to recognize, too, that you birth the new universe. That we are Black Womaniverse. When we birth our female babies, they should be better than us. That is a testimony to our parenting. My daughter should be more fly than me. My daughter should be, you know, light years ahead of me by the time she's my age, because she got me as a mama. So we should, you know, once we start recognizing the celebration of our daughters, again, I didn't experience it on the level that you sisters did. So this is information for me that I'm like, okay, I need to recognizing my mother was a damn good mom. So I've never experienced competition, but as I got older and I'm seeing this shit is real. I mean, when your mom is going to the same spots you going to, wearing the outfit that you would wear, there's some problems in that. You know what I'm saying? There's some problems in that. You and somebody's mom, and that competition thing is so deep. Sister Alexis Tyler, she talks about it all the time. You know what I'm saying? This competition among mother and daughter has to end, and it's sick. You competing with your daughter's boyfriend. That's sick.
Right.
That's a mental illness that the mothers, we need to address with the mothers. And again, I will go back and say that is child abuse. You see what I'm saying? That is child abuse.
The thing I wanted to touch on, I think Sister Earth either said it or tapped right on it, but forgive me if I'm reiterating what you said. But the thing that's really sickening about, especially when it's a boyfriend or a father, some mothers don't immediately go, oh, my God, I cannot believe he did this to you. We got to get him out of the house. Are you okay? You know, when did this happen? She goes, oh, he couldn't have did that to you, because I'm giving him every night. You know, he couldn't have did that to you. What would he want with you? He got me.
Exactly. They turn that on themselves. It's a sickness.
But it psychologically goes on if she doesn't act on, you know, that what?
I hate that this is a fictional account or whatever, and I am not a T.D. Jakes fan. Don't get it twisted. But women that are loose, that movie, Loretta Devine, to me, encompassed that whole thing that we're talking about now. Her daughter told her that her boyfriend molested her. Her immediate action to her daughter was, I told you about being fast. He didn't do this to you. I told you about letting these little boys from down the street. And so then she sent the daughter away. And then when the man came home, she had a knife waiting for him. Now, mind you, her first reaction was to tear her daughter down. But she believed her. She believed her. She didn't believe her. She wouldn't have been waiting for that dude to come home with a knife in her hand. She wouldn't have been waiting. And, I mean, even though that's a fictionalized account, the truth, it's truth in it. There are women who have experienced that.
And
not even just from a boyfriend, sometimes from their fathers. I mean, sometimes from their own father, their flesh and blood. I mean, there's sickness in this community that we, especially when it deals with molestation and things like that, there is a sickness in the community.
Let's talk about, too, what happens to the baby. What happens to that little girl? She sees mommy reacting in a sick, perverse way. So this little girl, she don't know no better. So she may take this in and say, oh, okay, my mama is a bee. My mama don't care about me. So I will continue to compete with her. And then this is where, as we spoke about, you know, you're young and you begin to have these sexual urges, the
right.
daughter... It's very possible that the daughter will say, well, I'll compete with you then, bitch. You know what I'm saying? And I'll do, and
yeah,
watch me get,
get
him more. Watch me get him more than you will. Okay? And then this is a sickness because this baby, she don't know no better. We can't blame these children. And when she's saying, when your mother is saying, you my competition, and the little girl is looking at herself like, well, shit, I'm younger. I'm more vibrant. I got more curves than you. I got all of this stuff. Okay, you gonna diss me, Ma? I'm gonna diss you, and I'm gonna take your man. We need to really, really. I mean, and that is something that we don't talk about. How the little girls will say, "Oh, word up! Watch me get him, then. Watch me do it, just to get back. If you gonna hurt me and not be my mama, I'm gonna hurt you, and I will be your competition."
And see, That's a prime example of perpetuating the wheel of allowing this harmful behavior and this just molestation, rape, the harmful effects after this has happened. That's why we have to stop it now, talk about it, and learn how to identify. So we're going to get...
And let's look at that, though. But real quick, let's look at that. I'm sorry, real quick, I got to get this out. But just like you said, I'm going to be competition with you. Even if she doesn't go back to her whoever's molesting her or whatever, look at what her future choices are. She has her mama as an example picking no good men. So, okay, she 9 times out of 10 is going to pick a no good man. And what if she has a daughter and the same thing happens? We're perpetuating. She's going to say the same thing that her mama said to her. Now, I love my parents. You know, they try to do the best they can. I don't have, like, issues like that with them. But at the same time, you are your parents. I always used to be like, I'm never going to be like my parents. I'm just like them now. Just like them. So if your child sees you acting in a certain way, sees your choice in men, even if she knows it's stupid, 9 times out of 10, when she gets to be that age, she's going to make the same damn decision you made. So... we really need to check that. We really do. We are the ones to perpetuate the cycle. We are not to blame for the actual abuse. We are the ones to blame for the perpetuation of it and how we deal with it when it comes to our children, what we show our children. You can tell your children everything till you're blue in the face. But unless you are that positive example, your kids aren't going to pick most of that up.
Exactly, exactly. I'm going to go ahead to the switchboard and take our caller from area code 301. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
I'm Keith. I'm calling from Clinton, PG County, Maryland.
Peace and blessings, brother.
PG.
PG. PG. Hey, I just wanted to say this, though. You know, I mean, it does stem from the home. But also, kids, as far as them being molested, I mean, we're sitting back, we're watching entertainers pee on young girls and not spend a day in jail. So, these kids are sitting back and watching to see no one's out there to fight for them. Now, see, I'm from the old generation where, you know, I grew up Catholic. I hated Catholic. I hated Mass and everything like that. Now, when we found out that the Catholics were, the priests were sitting there molesting them boys and everything, it was known. There was no, and no one fought for them. So I think that the molestation part falls on us as adults, because the children figure that they're lost, and no one's going to listen to them, no one's going to believe them, and no one cares about them, because it's not one person to sit there and stand up for them. Another issue when you talk about the woman, the daughter, and the mother issue as far as the competition, God says that he has come to set son against father and daughter against mother. So that competition does happen. I mean, I myself had experiences where, you know, and that's why when them children get 18, you have to get them out your house. And the reason why is because that competition, that female gene will kick in that competition. You know, I've dated women with basically grown daughters, and grown daughters confuse my niceness and my paternal nature as an issue of me liking them. So what do you think about those false signals?
I think that there is some deep-rooted problems outside of you, brother.
Mm.
You don't got nothing to do with that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have the because you came in with the fortitude of coming to be a father-like figure.
Right.
For her to she learned that. She learned that from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And the woman that you were dating at the time has taught her that somehow, some way. You know what I'm saying? And we have to, if she didn't teach her, she lacked in teaching her something.
Right.
You know what
I'm
saying?
And
I'm going to
say this, and I agree with you totally there, and I'm just going to make an acute situation. You know, it was one time when her daughter was pregnant, and I'm against abortions, but she was in fear of telling her mother. And mind you, she's 24. So it's not molestation, but me, I'm a 41-year-old man. So to me, that's still a child.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, not a child as far as physicality and everything, but on my level as far as, you know. But, you know, I said, well, you know, she didn't want to tell her mom. But, you know, I'm against it. But I said, well, it's your decision, you grown. And I helped her, you know, find information on, you know, how to handle the situation or whatever. But I told her mom. And she used key words like, why did you betray me? You know, this is the same female that used to hear, I'm sorry, I'm getting graphic, but used to hear me have relations with her mom. And used to get upset to where stuff would be dropped out on the floor and everything like that. So I, myself as a man, you know, it's happened a while ago. But I still got questions. What was that about? I mean, I want a female's perspective.
I
can't.
There were some issues within that household. So, I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, I wanted to say that. I wanted to say that real quick. Like, I feel where you're coming from, brother, but it's not a female gene. It's the individual. Like,
I wanted to respond to that too.
It's not, no, because, I mean, I'm 29 years old, and to be honest with you, if I didn't have a child, I would stay right in my mama's house. I love my mama. She cooks. She does all that stuff. And I've never been in competition with her man or anything of that nature or vice versa. Like, I've never gotten that from my mother. But I think where your issue lies is trust issues in that home. It kind of, from what you say, I don't know their situation, but it almost seems like the child's father wasn't necessarily in the picture.
Right.
Am I correct in that assumption?
Correct. You're correct, definitely. I never seen the whole time I was dating her mama for 5 years. He never showed up at the door.
Yeah, see, that was the thing about her having wanting a father figure and wanting a man around, and so that may have been that, you know, she... That competition thing kicked in there because she wanted the attention of a man, and her mom had an attention of a man, and she didn't have that father figure in her life. So
exactly.
That
and then also another thing
with every woman.
And also, like, the one thing that, like, how the child felt that you would betray them, and this is just my opinion, you know, but
okay,
I know with people in my own family who haven't had their father around, but they knew who their father was. In their head, they come up with a father figure, this mystical figure of who they think their father is, because they don't know him. And so in their head, they have this grandiose vision of who their father is. And so if they think that you are that father figure, they start projecting onto you. And so what she felt that a father figure could be, even though, you know, what your relationship was, what it was, when you did that, she felt betrayed because in her head, the vision that she had projected on you, you didn't live up to that vision. But that's my own personal opinion about it.
All right, brother. Well, thank you for calling in.
Now, that was deep, though, but that goes back to our conversation. That was deep, this competition in the home between females and females and things like that. You know, this is kind of random, but I just have to get it off my chest. I'm not one to be judgmental about how you decide to have kids or if you want to do a traditional marriage or whatever. I'm not judgmental. That's your business, how you want to raise your children or how you have them. But one thing I think we do have to examine is how deeply scarred children are when they don't have one of their parents in the home or they don't have a relationship with either the father or the mother. You know, I'm not going to point any fingers at the brothers right now. But, you know, children do have issues when they don't have both parents or they don't have that relationship with their parents.
Right, right. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that was deep.
So how do we, because I want to make sure we cover this before the end of the show, how do we identify, what are some key markers or things you would see how to identify that someone may have been sexually abused? And I guess we'll start there. How do we identify that?
In my opinion, it manifests itself in different ways, though. Like, it could be promiscuity, just like you said earlier. It could be the child, especially that molester is in the home, locking doors, things like that. It could be anything, like a drop in grades. This comes back to parenting. Like, you need to know your children. You need to pay attention to your children, because it's not like if you have a good child and then all of a sudden they're getting bad grades or they're talking back to you, something is going on. They might not be molested, but something is going on. This goes back to parenting. You need to know what your child is up to and what they're doing, what their temperament is like, and da-da-da-da-da. Like, we have taken this European model of how children are supposed to be, and that screwed us up. We're supposed to know our children. You're supposed to pay attention. Your children don't just change overnight.
I think that as a community, we need to definitely, it's our parenting, and as a community, when we're dealing with our babies, and when I say our, I mean Sister Seek, if you have children, your children are mine. Sister Earth, if you have, your son is my son. We need to all
exactly
be so in tune. And again, when we go back to African spirituality and how we did it back home, everybody is referred to as mama. Everybody is referred to as papa and baba. So as long as we have these connections, sometimes your kids won't feel comfortable talking to you, but they may feel comfortable talking to me. And we need to all be so vested in these children, because our intuition, I believe, this is how I uncovered a lot of my girls who dance. This is how I uncovered their shit, because I was so in tune with them. I came in and made our energies connect with one another. They were my children. And your intuition will lead you. And sometimes you'll ask them and they'll deny it. You see what I'm saying? And you have to just keep letting them know when you're ready to talk, then you'll be able, then I'll go ahead and be here for you. I know my experience was just the act of meditating with my babies, or meditating before I dealt with my babies, you know, called me to be open enough to see what they were going through, to be open enough to invite them in for some proper healing. And we can't be afraid to get vulnerable. There is no such thing as these are my babies and no one else's. There's no such thing as that. My sons in particular, my sons take to certain men, take to certain women, take to, you know, my daughter, she takes to certain women. She's saying, you know what, I want to go. She knows she can go talk to one sister about her hair, you know, cause, or she'll go say, and we have to trust that the community will come together, and we have to trust these other resources that we have. And when we are interacting with kids, we have to get so invested in who they are as children that we'll be able to pick up on, and particularly those sisters of us who have gone through it, because we'll be able to remember those emotions. We'll be able to remember, ooh, that was the behavior I did. You know what I'm saying? This was something that I
did. Exactly.
So we'll be able to share our stories. And when we tell the little girls, you know, what we've gone through, instead of coming at them as I'm the authority sitting on the throne and you were at my feet kissing my toes, when we come at them and we say, you know what, I've been through this. This is what happened to me. They'll begin to say, you know what, Miss Lady, this happened to me too. You know, so we have to be so invested into it, to our babies.
I remember one point, you know, when I was younger, we would have certain people come and talk to us at the schools about different stuff. They don't even do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even a proponent of public schools. You know, each family should do what is best for them. But I really think we need to take control of teaching our own children via homeschool, because y'all already know why I feel that way. But, you know, we need to really get out there and start having these forums, even if, you know, whether they're in our own sister circles locally. But we need to start speaking about this, so that, you know, other women can feel free to speak about it and get on the healing process. And, of course, like Lady just said, the young girls are going to hear this and say, you know what, this did happen to me. And they're going to have a resource to come to where they can trust that the person's going to believe what they're talking about, because some people can't talk to their moms.
Mm-hmm.
That's
true.
So
it's
going to be another outlet.
And then another thing, what you can do at home, Lady had already spoken on this, but you need to have these conversations with your children. Like, this is yours. This is, nobody is supposed to touch you in this way or violate you in any way. And if this happens, you tell me, and I'm going to be an open door for you. I have your back. And it's lovely if you have other sisters and brothers in the community who your children can go to as well if they feel comfortable to talk to, if they don't feel comfortable enough to talk to you about it. But we have to really start at home. Another thing I want to talk about before the show ends is how to deal with these women who, I've been saying it the whole show, but how to deal with the women, especially whose daughters or whose sons come to them with the accusation, with being molested, and they don't react accordingly. Like, what do we, how do we reach out to these women to change their minds about where they're going or show the error of their ways, something?
Ooh, that's a heavy question. That is a heavy question. I think just being available, you know, because they're not going to. Let me ask the question one more time. Let me make sure I'm answering.
Sister Earth?
Did we lose her?
I think we did. My cordless phone was on low battery. Hold on one moment. Let's try to get her back. Hold on 1 minute, family.
So, yeah, I think we all, for the listeners, need to know that we have to heal. We have to heal. And a sister will come to us in order to heal, in order to, but she, it's her process, and we have to respect that, and we have to respect that when she comes to us, it will be yes.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that, y'all.
Okay. So let me, can you ask the question again, Sister?
What can we do as a community, as individuals, as sisters, to reach out to these women who may have been in a situation before, but to the women who react to their daughters negatively? Like, how can, I guess this is a two-part question, like, how do we change their thinking or get them to see the error in their ways, and how do we help heal their babies while their mother is in the process of healing from this behavior that they, you know, that they allowed to happen to their child. Like, how can we stop? Because me personally, again, I want to reiterate, I am not blaming the victim for being raped or being molested. It's not the victim's fault. But where I do think we as mothers falter is when our children or our daughters, whoever come to us and says, this has happened to us, this has happened to me, and we shut them down. Like, no, my man couldn't do that. Your dad couldn't do that. Your brother, what, whoever it is. How can we heal that mentality? How can we heal out to those people?
See, this question is real hard, y'all. Because
yeah, that's a hard one.
The young sister I was telling y'all about, who's my client, you know, she's been my client. She's 14, and now she's 17. Her mother and her little sister are also my clients.
Ooh.
So I'm in that exact situation that you just now, and I'm like, okay, how do I address this? I don't want to hurt any of these women that are in this situation, but I know it's another little girl that's in this household with this same man that, you know, molested her older sister, and the mom thinks the older sister was lying. So I'm like, you know, so I've talked to the mom about, and I think this is a suggestion. I've talked to the mom about starting to participate in, you know, some circles in reference to black women, kind of sort of business related, because she's a business major, business related, and also doing some healing things within our community. So I didn't really get into why I really wanted her there, because if I told her, she wouldn't come. But, you know, that's a suggestion to really start. Y'all know, you know, we call ourselves conscious sisters, and we have our circles where we can relate to each other on our level. We also, when it comes to this, we have to step outside of what we would consider conscious, because this happens to our community and blocks other people from coming aware, enlightened, and conscious because of the pain that's residing in them. So when it comes to this particular situation here, we can't limit ourselves to, you know, sisters that are conscious. And, you know, we have to be available for the whole community.
I think, too, as sisters, that availability is just so crucial to these moms, to welcome them, to provide that comfort, and to let them know that just as it was not their daughter's fault, it was not their fault, because I think this is another layer of why they react the way they do, because somehow they feel like a failure as
it's
a mother.
It's their fault.
Yeah, and they don't want to, you know, we all strong black women of the millennium, you know what I'm saying? So we don't want to accept that, oh, my goodness, this has happened to my baby boy or girl, and we don't, so we'll block it out and say, no, it didn't happen, because in some form or fashion, you are held responsible because you're the mother, you know. So we don't want to, we have to invite these sisters to know it was not their fault as well. And even in their reaction, we have to still provide a platform for them to feel invited. See, what happens is that when the sisters are going through this, and then we're like, I can't believe you didn't react, now we are projecting this anger towards them when all of the anger needs to be towards that man or that woman. You know what I'm saying? And yes, that responsibility is held, but we have to remember the mother may have been broken too. The mother may have gone through it too, and she's never acknowledged it. She's never talked about it. So we have to keep that line of communication open. We do need to definitely say, you know, you need to pay more attention. But in the initial stages, we just want her to come and invite healing. So in order to do that, we have to let her know it's safe for her to cry. It's safe for her to acknowledge the guilt that she feels. It's safe for her to, because she, once that happens, you have to heal with your child. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not just heal your child and walk away. You have to heal too. And this is why, again, why the sisterhood is so important, because we need to provide that support and that platform. And brothers, when you deal with a sister who is dealing with this, you need to learn the techniques on how to be a good man in that healing process. You need to understand that you may need to let that little girl close and lock the door for the sake of comfort. You may need to, you know, give them one-on-one time. You may need to shut up and not speak about nothing. You may, you know, you have to deal with each situation accordingly and let that mother know. But brothers, when you know that there is an accusation, you do need to support that mother in saying, you know what, you may want to investigate that. You know, I don't feel comfortable as a man knowing that your daughter made these type of assumptions on anybody. We need to investigate that. And this will establish your safety net with this baby and the mama too. You know, we have to hold everybody accountable. We need to hold the predator, we need to hold the mother, and then we need to heal the baby. That's, you know, how I feel about it.
Hmm. Amy, I have another question that's kind of sort of, I already know the answer to it, but, you know, how you deal with it. You know, this mother in this particular situation with the clients of mine, she's still with this man. And has been with this man since this child was 8, and she's 17 now. You know, so is it possible, you know, I already know the answer, but for the purpose of conversation, is it possible for her and her daughter to heal from this situation while she's with that man?
No.
Exactly.
No.
So,
and we have to be honest. If the mama don't want to heal, we got to keep it moving.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We
right.
got to keep it
and
moving.
And that's why I almost just want to deal with the daughter and don't, I don't want to overstep my boundaries because that's a family. So I feel it's easier for me to deal with the two daughters and just let the mama do what she want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You
because
know, let
the
two daughters
the
know I'm here, you know.
You want to be a resource, but we have to remember the first step of any type of healing is accepting your role in it.
Right.
And accepting that for the baby, accepting the role, it was not your fault. For the mother, accepting that you didn't believe your daughter. You know what I'm saying? So if she does not, if she can't accept it, you know, 12 steps, you know, Alcohol Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, the first thing is what? Admitting you have a problem. And if she doesn't want to do that, we got to keep it moving. And this is why I'm grateful that all three of these women are your clients because now these little girls have you as a resource. But if the mama gonna continue, I mean, that's damn near 10 years later. If she gonna stay
right.
with that man, she gonna stay with him. And it may be the mother seeing how the daughters cling to you. It may be, you know, we don't know what sparks a wake up. We don't. For everybody, it's different. So it may be 15 years later and her mom says, you know what, I'm done with this. You know, but we have to accept that we can't convince, you know, when we trying to enlighten people, I always say I'm not in the business of convincing sisters of anything. You know, if you can't feel it and if it's not in your instinct, not everybody is goddesses, not everybody are queens. Some of them are just straight up foul, you know, we got to let them be that until they decide to wake up.
Well, you know, I really hope that we've got about 19 minutes remaining in the show, so if anyone has any last words or comments or are there any callers out there who want to call in and comment or have a question, the call-in number is 646-716-7675. I really hope the conversation that we've had today and that we've started today kind of reverberates and continues within our community and within our culture to open up the communication lines when it comes to, you know, sexual abuse within our communities and specifically within our homes, because this is happening at a rate that's very alarming and too alarming for us to continue to ignore. So if there's anything else that, you know, the sisters want to add, anything else we haven't touched on, I mean, because we need to go ahead and cover it now.
I really want to just reiterate that we need to communicate this to each other. There's no such thing. When we talk about we're women and we're conscious and we want to heal this community, there's no such thing as just their business. If we know that there is a predator out there, we cannot be afraid to let the other sisters know. We can't be afraid to let the other mothers know because if you do it once, you do it twice, you know what I'm saying? And we need to make sure we're not afraid to get in the business, to say, you know what, if especially Seek, I know the situation that you're in is complicated, and I think that you have an excellent solution of saying, I'm going to deal with the daughters, you know what I'm saying, versus I'm just going to turn my back and just keep doing everybody's hair. And that, and you can't be afraid to lose your client, the mother, you know what I'm saying, for the sake of this healing. And I think that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful start of saying I'm going
to
make sure
the money
that I'm available.
The issue is just a point of not even wanting to hurt any of them, you know, because it's obvious when I started to ask more questions, when the one that's 17 opened up to me, I started, you know, purging, you know, going and asking more questions. I said, well, you know, what type of relationship does your mother have with her mom? She said, well, you know, my mom moved from, you know, her mom's house in New York and came to Virginia when she was 17 because they didn't get along. I said, well, why not? So I think something mm-hmm. similar happened to her mom in her mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
Because she just, her mom, her mother and her grandmother just started talking again in the past couple of years. They hadn't been dealing
mm-hmm.
with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's a generational issue, and that's why the mom probably shut down and won't acknowledge it. And I think it's also a hidden thing of, you know, a self-esteem issue with the mom where she figures she got to hold on to this man she's with because she ain't going to find nobody else.
Mm.
And that's another thing, you know, that keeps mothers sometimes from acting on when their children come to them with those types of things.
Hmm. Hmm. Whew. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a very, you know, sensitive topic, you know, very sensitive, but we've got to be very courageous and brave and, you know, when we come out and speak about this and speak about our stories, because we have to be here for our children, and we don't have another generation to allow this type of thing to go on.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think another thing is that platforms like Black Wombiverse allowing to discuss this, I think we need to understand that we will, as the victims, we will be on a continuous journey of healing. Even talking about this today, I feel like I just got some new healing that you always get enlightened, you always get awakened. So we need to understand that us sharing our stories provides that healing, not only for us, for the sisters who need to know it's safe. And then we are a shining example that we can get through it. My name is Lady Offset, and yes, I have been violently raped, you know, but that doesn't make me, you know, I'm not just a rape victim. You know, I do A, B, C, and D. When these sisters can see that, yes, this happened, but this does not have to define you, and that will stop the block too, because, you know, we get
right.
afraid of saying that we just keep, this is all we equal up to, so we block it out. I'm just a sexual being. I'm just, no, you were so much more than that. And when we can be the example of saying, you know what, I've accomplished ABCD, I've done ABCD, and whatever, whatever, and guess what, I was raped too, and I'm okay. I'm gonna always heal from it, but this process is beautiful because I get to heal with Seek Wisdom. I get to heal with Sister Earth. So it's a beautiful process and loving support that is there. We can't be afraid to share our stories, and some of us will be afraid to share them. But as long as there's enough of us to say we're gonna speak up about it, that platform will be open for everyone. Brothers too, you know, just we have two brothers call in. That's a beautiful thing right there.
Right,
we have
right.
some silence
coming. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, and I want to thank everyone who's in the chat room, you know, for coming today and listening live. I want to thank everyone who's listening to this in the archives. You know, I want to ask that everyone who's listening, go share this show with, you know, two or three sisters or two or three brothers, because the brothers need to understand where the sisters are coming from when we've been through things such as this that cause us to not trust and things of this nature. And within the sisterhood, we will handle this within the sisters as to work on this and heal from this. But the brothers can at least be understanding, you know, of the sisters when they go through this, and, you know, us too when they are brothers who've been through this situation. So go out and share, you know, this this show with everybody. I don't care if you have to, you know, download it, put it on CD and hand it out, you know, at some shelters or whatever you want to do, but please share the information. As I said earlier, I don't know if Lady Osset heard me, but she also has a radio show on Blog Talk, which is Goddess Awakening. So I want her to go ahead and give information out in reference to her show, because she and I will be, as we did today, partnering up on things that, you know, our community and our listeners need to hear. So if you could go ahead and give some information in reference to your show.
Yes, I do a show every Sunday and every Wednesday, 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, midnight Eastern Standard Time, called Goddess Awakening, BTR/ Goddess Awakening, and it is definitely in cooperation and a partnership with Black Womaniverse. Our platform is the Sacred Sisterhood, and how do we become the balance for our brothers properly and in a healthy manner. We have some excellent guests. Every Sunday we have a guest on the show. Tonight's guest is Miss Rachel Milano, who she has an incredible story dealing with molestation. She has an incredible story on how she overcame this tragedy. This sister pushed a wagon from Alabama to Atlanta, Georgia. Birmingham, Alabama to Atlanta, Georgia. She pushed this wagon, and she has just an amazing story that I think will go right in line with this show. It's every Sunday and Wednesday. Again, y'all, please support it. Right after you listen in to Black Womaniverse, go get your eat on, get your lunch, get your day together so you can be ready for the week, and then come listen to Goddess Awakening. And as my sister said, we are going to be supporting of one another and showing what the sisterhood means, because we need all the platforms talking about whatever it is we got to address.
Definitely, definitely. Again, I want to thank all of my listeners.
Hey, what about Sister Earth? Earth has come back.
We got 10 minutes.
He's going to leave me out. Goodness gracious.
Go ahead, Sister Earth. You know I ain't going to forget you.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, it's Sister Earth, and I have a Neem site called KineticScience.Neem.com. It's basically a good reference point. We have information about some of everything. The Black Womaniverse is our sister site. We have links to that. Furthermore, Sister Lady, I'm definitely going to start posting your events on my site as well, your Blog Talk Radio show, so we can bring some of the people from Comedic Science onto your show as well. But definitely, so check that out, KineticScience.Neem.com.
All right, and Comedic Science and Black Womaniverse are also sister networks with the Order of Maat. So you're talking to some well-connected sisters on the line. We're, you know, stepping out there into the community, trying to do what we can to heal our community and put things out there, put programs out there for our people. So, you know, definitely stay tuned and stay connected. The social networking site for Black Womaniverse is blackwomanshealth.ning.com, or you can visit blackwomaniverse.webs.com. You can also email me at blackwomb@divinechemistry.com, and chemistry is spelled K-H-E-M-E-S-T-R-Y. Do you guys want to give out your if y'all want to give out email addresses or anything, you know, go ahead. But I just want everyone to, you know, stay connected and stay tuned to what we're doing, because we're really trying to put some good things out for the people, and this is just a part of our healing process right here. This is just a part of it.
Yeah, I am an artist. I do theater. That's what I do. I dance, spoken word, all that good stuff. I have a performing arts company called Visions Performing Arts. You can find us at visions with an S, PAC.org. My email is lady with an I, LADI, at VISIONSPAC.org. We have a Facebook page, Goddess Awakening Facebook fan page. We also have, you can find me on Facebook. Please leave me a message for why you want to be my friend, where you know me from, because I will send you a message like, look, I'm trying to be productive and I won't accept you if you don't respond. So please let me know. That's where you got it. It's Lady with an I, Offset, Crenshaw, or Goddess Awakening, either one. But I'll put all the links. I'm trying to put all the links up right now, so I'll put all those links up for you. And Sister Earth, I'll put yours in there too. So,
all right, and yes, Sister Earth, she is the program director for the African Family Depot, which is another one of the programs that is from the Order of Maat, where we are trying to collect food, clothing, first aid, personal hygiene, and monetary donations, you know, to be supportive of our community when our community needs us. So we've got a lot of things going on. If you have not heard of, you know, the different things that I've spoken of, you can reach out to any of the three sisters on the line, and we will be more than willing to assist you in any way that we can. So I guess if no one has anything else to, you know, to add, I'm going to go ahead and thank you two beautiful sisters for coming online today with me to be my support to share my story and for me to be your support to share yours.
Thank you, sis. And Sister Earth, we definitely, let's get on a connection as soon as this show is
over. Earth, are you still on the line?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear Alex.
Yeah, I tried to mute out.
All right, all right. Well, I'm going to send us out with a little bit of Jill Scott. You know, I love that sister. She is a beautiful sister, and her music is always healing. So thank you for everyone for tuning in today. Stay tuned. Peace and blessings.
Caught up in the maze of crazy.